Okay, recorder's on and I'm talking and you're quiet. Right? That's right. Okay, so where we were was we had done this program and we wanted to fix it so that it would handle add, subtract, multiply, and divide. And I think that's where we left off. So I'm going to take this and control copy and bring up Notepad and edit paste. Okay, so now I've got that in there. And now I'm going to work with it. Okay, so we'll get a format and get it a little bit bigger. Okay, so we've started out with this, and we've got right now that we want a multiply, and everything else does a divide. That's where we started out, right? So now we're going to put in another if statement, because we want to go down inside and say, if what to do equals, and we need the two equal sign, a slash, okay? And if it equals a slash, then we are going to put in the fact that we want to have answer equal to first num divided by second num. Okay, there's talking going on, please. Hello? Shh. Okay. So we've got if what to do equals asterisk, then do the first calculation else. And notice the else has these two already there. And then I've inserted the if inside it. Okay, so else do whatever is there. And I've inserted the if inside there. Now I want to ask if it's not a divide, I want to find out if it is an add. So I'm going to say else, and I'm going to again have two curly braces. Okay, so I'm saying else, and I'm going to ask if it's an add. Okay, so I'm saying here, if what to do equals a plus sign. Okay? And again, I don't put a semicolon at the end of the if statement because I'm not done with it. Okay? And so if it equals, what am I going to put on the next line? Okay, what am I going to put here? Answer equals what? Right, I need something around them, like parse float or something, because I'm doing an add, and when I need an add, I need to do parse float or parse integer or the plus sign with it in parenthesis or the word number with a capital N. And you've got examples of all those. Parse float is the one I originally learned, so my instincts tend to go there. So I've got first num plus parse float second num. And if you see me making a mistake, please let me know. Okay, so now I'm going to have another else. And what is I going to be putting inside this else? What am I going to be putting inside this else? Pardon?
Subtraction.
So I'm going to be asking if what to do equals, and I've already made a mistake up on the plus. What mistake did I make on the plus?
You
I only put one equal sign. You're supposed to be telling me when I do these things, folks. You're not supposed to be letting me sit up here and sink all by myself. Okay, so I need to have the two equal signs. Okay? So, now I'm going to come in and say, in that case, I want to say answer equals first num minus second num, and close that off. And then I want to say else, and I'm going to have a curly brace here. And you could say, I don't remember whether I told you to say answer equals zero, or you can say answer equals problem if you want to. I don't remember which one I said. But you can say answer equals something that indicates that we didn't do a calculation. And zero can be a little ambiguous there, so it's probably just as well to use answer is problem. Okay, so now let's see if I think I've got all of my... Okay, so I'm going to count, and I've got the leftmost curly brace. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And the closing one, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So at least I think I've got them somewhat in order. Okay? Does anybody see anything I did wrong? So, now we cross our fingers and hope that it works. File, open file, and I put it out on this drive, and I called it something like math, all 120. Well, at least I didn't get the screen of death, so at least I didn't do anything terrible. Okay, or I would have got nothing. So I'm going to enter the first number. I'm going to enter 6. And I'm going to enter 3. And I'm going to enter a plus. And I already see one problem I have. And it's now a 9. So the plus worked. Okay? Now, the problem that I had is I really should have given better directions up here. So I should have said or plus or minus. Okay, that's not going to affect how the computer works. It's going to affect how people work. Okay, so I need to tell them that they can enter any of those. Okay, so I'll do a file save. And then I'll do a refresh on this. And I'm going to enter a 7 and a 4 and a subtract, and I got 3, so that's working. So now one more time, I'm going to enter 7, 8, and I'm going to enter an A, and it tells me problem. So it worked. Okay? So I've got basically, the program is working. Okay. Now, if it wasn't, if I had been foolish enough to do all of this and it wasn't working, lots of times what I do, especially if I get a white screen, is I would take out a whole big clump, like starting with that else, so that I only put in the end. Okay, and if the I knew everything was working up to the ad. So if I only put in the ad and then I run it and it doesn't work, I know it's the ad that's the issue. I put in the ad, subtract, and da, so if it didn't run, I had a big area that I had to worry about. Lots of times when I'm writing them, I would have stopped. I was feeling confident, so I kept going. But if I wasn't, I would have stopped and tested after the ad, added the subtract, tested after that. Now, what you have to do is make sure you do have the curly braces lined up for stopping. But essentially, that helps, I think, quite a lot. The other thing is, if it's working, but I'm not getting the right answers, I throw in a bunch of alerts so that I can see what it's doing. Because if I say alert answer, alert answer, alert answer, and keep putting them in, I can see when it's what it's calculating. Okay, so an alert is frequently something I use to help me find out what went wrong. But that's if it's working. The alert doesn't do you any good if you get in the white screen of death. So you then have to, start pulling things apart. And what I do is I save what I did, and then I make a copy that I can play with, and I start pulling it apart. Okay? Because it's the little things that get you. So things like not putting a capital F there, okay? Putting a capital N there. It's the little things like that that get you. And they're very hard to find. I also ask somebody else to look at it because a fresh set of eyes is a good thing. And I happen to be lucky enough to be married to a programmer. So he gets the, what did I do? More often than not. Okay, especially with JavaScript.
Just a quick thought, too. You want to work little by little, because if you do it all at once, you've got a lot more code to try to debug and figure out.
No, that's what I'm saying with the ad.
Yeah.
That I'd stop after the ad. You're right. If you sit down and write 100 lines of code and it doesn't run.
Sorry.
Okay. So it's a lot easier to do it the other way. Okay, here I've got something very similar to this. Enter the number of points you earn. 6. Okay, not enough points for a prize. So what I've got here is something very, very similar, where I said, okay, I'm going to set up a variable called my points and a variable called message. I'm going to prompt and say enter the number of points you've earned and store it in my points. And then I'm saying if my points is less than 10, which mine was, make that the message. Else, if it's less than or equal to 50, make this the message. Else, you can choose a prize from group A. Now at the bottom, after the if is all done, I do the document write of message. Now an alternative to do this is I could have done right up here, document write, and put that message right inside the quotes. And had a document write with the message inside the quotes, and had a document write, and had a document write. So I could have done that with 3 document writes embedded in the if statement, or I can put my message in a variable called message, and then when everything's all done, write out what's in message. Okay? The general feeling is it's a little more efficient to do it this way. I/O takes more background code than other things, because you have to collect information from a user, or in this case, figure out where to write it on the screen, etc. That takes a little more background code than just doing an add or doing an assign. So here I've done an assign 3 times, and I'm only writing once, as opposed to doing a write 3 times. And that saves a nanosecond or 2 here and there, if you really care. But anyway, that's one of the arguments for doing the document write at the bottom. when you have all of the information. And obviously, as things go much, much faster, that's much, much less important than it used to be. So there is the information I got because I put in a 6. This is, I'm entering my name, Anne, and I'm entering the state, Rhode Island. And it comes back and says, Anne, you lived in Rhode Island. Okay, so what I've got here is an or statement. The pipes mean ore. Okay, those pipes right there mean ore. So I am saying here, if the state equals Mass, or the state equals Rhode Island. And this time, just because I told you it was more efficient not to use document write, I decided to use it, okay? So I have document write twice. And part of that is just I like to go back and forth between using message and using document write so you can see how to do it. Okay, a couple of comments about this. First of all, I have the variable assigned at the same time I'm prompting. That's acceptable. Set up the variable and take in the content right away. That's acceptable, and I just so chose to do that this time. Window.prompt, the window is never a requirement. Okay, because the prompt goes up on the window, you can write window.prompt, or you can just write prompt. Okay, so that window dot there is optional. So I said, set up a variable called the name and take in the person's name. So I typed Anne. And notice I have ending a name, comma, quote, quote. That means nothing will appear in the little box. The little box will be empty. And then I said, set up a variable called the state and put up a prompt that says enter the state. And then I said, okay, if the state equals Massachusetts, or the state equals Rhode Island, then do one right, else do another right. And we'll talk about the rights in a minute. Notice I have an entire test here. I'm testing the state equal to Mass. I can't then write or Rhode Island. I have to give it the entire the state equals Rhode Island. Okay? I can't say the state equals Mass or Rhode Island. Yeah.
Can you actually write or instead of the pipes?
No.
You have them,
no.
Have those in?
No. No. She says with almost certainty.
Can you try it?
Huh? Yeah, you're right. I can try it.
I was just about
to. I think I'm remembering PHP when I say yes. You can do it with PHP, but I don't think you can do it with this. But we will find out.
And that's the reason why I'm like, hey, why try? Because I don't remember either.
At least you're honest about it. Just say no and then check back later. Oh,
now, long ago, if you're going to teach up here, if you're teaching computers, long ago I learned, I know probably less than 1% of what there is to know out there, and every year it sinks. Every day it sinks.
Yeah.
It's one of those, if you can't get used to saying I haven't a clue what I'm talking about, then...
it's white screening on me when I do it.
You know, just talk slower and slower until she remembers.
Well, that's very clever. She. let's see. We're trying. We're calling this test or dot HTML. And again, you don't really have to do that most of the time, but it's a good idea. So we're going to change this word to or. File save. And then file, open file.
Yeah, Yeah, white screens.
That's what I thought, but... Okay, there it is, the white screen.
Why didn't it work?
So, or we have just discovered I was right, I remembered it right, or it doesn't work and doesn't work either. Okay?
How would you write and?
Next one.
Oh, okay. can you put it in there where the person doesn't put capital M, capital A? Is there a way? Because that's what I did and it came up wrong.
Wait a minute. I'm lost on what do you mean by... No, yes, there is. I now know what you're saying. Yes, there is. It's a convert uppercase. We're not doing that today. But we will do that sometime in the future. I will tell you how to do it. But I don't want to get into functions, which that is what it is today. But yes, you can convert. But for now, you got to be very case sensitive. And then later we'll talk about how you cannot be, yeah.
Is there a way to allow it simply to just accept anything and display it without having to have the specifics? Just sort of like that, but more broad.
Well, then don't have an if statement and ask any questions. Just say, show it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the only thing I can think of. Okay, so down here I am writing out the name, which is the variable, concatenated with you live in. Now notice I have the space on either side there so that I'll get a space after the name and a space after the word in. And then I'm concatenating that with the state. And then I put a comma in and I got a BR. I could have concatenated that as well. I could have used a plus there. But I just wanted to show that you can mix and match here. A comma is a separator as well. Okay, that was clever. I want that spot right there. And so I could have used a plus in here and it would have worked just fine. But I was just showing that you can mix and match so you can put a comma in there. Okay. And then on the bottom one, I said document right, the name concatenated with you do not live in Massachusetts or Rhode Island. In that one, I embedded the BR, although I really didn't need it, but I wanted to show the two ways of doing it. I embedded the BR in the literal that I already had. Up here, I didn't have a literal, I had a variable. So when I wanted to get the BR, I had to put some kind of separator or concatenator and then put the BR within quotes. But if I happen to have a literal sitting there, I can throw the BR into the literal. Or a literal that's in quotes, not a literal that's a number. Okay. So that gets into how we do the or. Okay, the next one is going to be an and. And apparently I ran out of good names because this is called problem two. And your year of birth is 1980. Okay. And your marital status, M. Okay. And Anne doesn't meet the criteria. Oops. Okay. So, I'm saying the same thing, but this time I'm doing a test for Anne. And Anne is the two ampersands. Okay. So and is the two ampersands. And that is telling me this and this. So I'm saying year birth greater than 1980. And I typed 1980, I think, so it wasn't greater than. And married. So both of them are not true. So... Okay, it got the, you do not meet the criteria. Okay, I think I typed 1980 and M. Okay, so that's the and that's the or. So you can, in the same way that we've been looking at logic, you can come in and use your ands and your ors, or you can ask the questions separately. Okay? Your choice. Okay? Questions? Okay. Okay, the next thing we're going to look at is loops. As I mentioned at the beginning, what JavaScript gives me is power. An HTML program can't ask questions, and it can't loop. But when I throw JavaScript inside it, I can get that power of asking questions and of looping. And that makes it a far more usable thing. I mean, HTML only lets you put up information, basically. It doesn't let you do a lot of checking, and it doesn't have interactivity. HTML alone does not have a lot of interactivity. You can get it to fill out a form, but that's about it. So this gives us interactivity. So I've got a while loop here. How many times should I write the line? I'm picking 7. And when I click on that, I now have 7 lines. Okay, so I put up a prompt and I said data input, and I started it out at 0. And I said data input equals prompt, how many times should I write the line? Okay, and I put a 0 in there, so that's what will show up in the little box. Then I said, okay, count is what I am going to use to keep track of how many lines I've written. So every time I write a line, I'm going to add one to count so that I keep track of how many lines I write. So count ends up being what I call my control. Okay? Goody.
You're a lot more patient with that than I would be.
I'm a lot more patient than most people are, but I really like the fact that I can capture it and put it online. You know, most faculty have long since said this thing is...
I would have smashed the screen.
But I just really think it's got some value, so I kind of stick with it. Okay. And, yeah, right. Let's discuss my patience, right? I walk over here and curse the thing in my head, at least. And now I've got it so that I think it's going to work. Okay? So, my count is going to be my control. And when I am doing looping, I need to have 3 things, and we've talked about this when we talked about logic. I need to have the ability to first set my control. Okay, so I'm setting my control, and I'm doing that right there, where I say variable count equals 1. So I'm setting my control. Okay? I need to be able to test my control. And I do that right there where I say, do it while count is less than or equal to data input. So there's where I'm testing my control. And I need to be able to change my control. And I'm changing my control right there where I say count equals count plus 1. And a lot of people, by the way, write that as count plus plus. And count plus plus means add 1 to count. Okay? I like the clarity, I guess, of count equals count plus 1. So I tend to use that. But I'm in the minority on that. You'll find a lot of people use the count plus plus. Okay, so Now I have got the three things that I need to have a loop. I've got my setting it prior to entering. I've got my testing, which is while count is less than data input. And every time I go inside the loop and write a line, I add one to count. So I've got my four things going on, three things rather, going on there. Okay? So, looking at this a little bit more.
Just really quickly?
Yeah.
I just want to say another name for the set control is the initializer. The test control is the condition. And the change control, in this case, is the incrementer.
Right.
So just a heads up in case you were wondering.
Yep, that's other words as well.
Yep.
And so what he said is the set can be the initializing. I'm giving an initializing value. The while can be, what did you call it?
The condition.
Condition.
Yep.
Okay. So I'm doing a test of the control, and the testing is a condition. And the bottom one is I'm adding to it, so I'm incrementing. But I don't really have to increment. I could decrement if I wanted to.
Yep.
I could start count out at 10, and I could subtract one every time. And do 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 if I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So it can be either one of those.
Question? Yeah, and if that count, which is plus one, if you do that, like the two or three, it changes it by that many?
Yeah, we're actually going to go through this.
Yep.
Okay? So here's my count. I put in how many times I put in a seven. So I've got data input is seven, and then I've got count I established as one. So it goes in, and it establishes count at one, and then the next thing it does is said, while count is less than or equal to data input. Is one less than or equal to data input?
Yes.
Yes, it is. So it does the document write, and I get out that line right there, and notice the document write says this is number, concatenated with count, concatenated with BR, which moves me down to the next line. And then it says add one to count. And then when it hits this curly brace, it braces, goes back up and asks the question again. Because the curly braces encircle everything that is going to be done inside the loop. So we don't have the word end loop, we have the closing curly brace. The curly brace holds everything that is being done inside the loop. So when I hit that closing curly brace, it goes back. And it says, okay, is count less than or equal to data input? Yeah, two is less than seven. So I now write out the second one, and then I add one to count. I hit the curly brace, and I go back up. Is count less than or equal to data input? Yes, it is. Document write, the third one. So I'm now writing out the third one, and I add one to count. And I keep going through that, writing out a line, adding one to count, until eventually, okay, let's say when I add one to count, it becomes seven. Okay, so I go back. Is seven less than or equal to data input? Yeah, it's equal. So it would end up writing out the seventh one, and then adding one, and I get to eight. It goes back up. Is eight less than or equal to seven?
No.
No. So it drops out of the loop and immediately goes to the line right afterward and writes that. So it goes to the line that is right below the curly brace, because the curly brace ended the loop. It goes to the next line and does that document write. And it writes out BR, because I decided to skip another line. This is the end. And again, I concatenated those two together just to show you variation, but that BR could have been inside right here, inside the quotes. I could have just put the BR inside there, and it would have worked just fine. Okay? The BR didn't have to be separate, it could have been part of the literal. questions.
Can't you use two BRs at the top, on the top one to give you the same thing?
Well, if I use two BRs on the top one, then I double space through everything. Because every time I light a line, which would be fine, but I'd go down two lines on that. I only want to skip the extra line at the bottom. I've already got a BR, so it's already down one line. And then I decided I wanted to skip another line, so I threw the BR in there. And that gets me the other blank line.
Just ask her.
That's fine. That's what you're here for, and that's what I'm here for. Okay, questions. See? That's what you're here for. Okay. So I'm going to leave this kind of open. That's the one I want to leave open. A few of these others I think I can close and make go away. Good Lord. And I probably just closed up the wrong thing, right? Yeah, I did. No, I didn't. Yes, I did. Okay, so the next kind of loop is a do loop. How many times should I write the line? 7. Now on this one, I got exactly the same output, but it's a little bit different. In this one, I've got the do, and I asked the question at the bottom. So I said do, and then I say document write, and then I add one to count, and then I ask the question about is count less than or equal to data input. Okay? So one of these asks the question before I process, one of them asks the questions after I process. So if I look at these, actually let me take a picture of that. If I look at these two, okay, those are the two. The stuff inside the loop is exactly the same. The difference is that I'm asking the question at the top on the first one and at the bottom on the second one. So, which one of these may never enter the loop?
The while.
Because if I put in, for example, a 0 as the input, then when it hit the while statement, while count is less than or equal to data input, 1 is not less than or equal to 0. And so it will not enter the loop. If I put a 0 in here, what happens?
It says this is number 1 and then stops.
That's right. Because it goes in, it does the document right, this is 1. It adds 1 to count, count's now a 2. And then it says, well, count is less than or equal to data input, which is a 0. 2 is not less than or equal to data input, so it drops out and writes this is the end. And we'll go and do this. So this one may... Yeah, right. Is it going to let me write on this? Probably not. I think I'll write this when I get home. There's the while loop. There's the do while. I'll take a picture, and when I edit it home, I'll tell it what it's doing. Okay, so now let's go and test the do while, which is the one that I have open here, I believe. Yes, the do. So if I run this again, and I say, how many times should I write the line, and I put in 0, and then I say, okay, it tells me this is number 1, this is the end. Okay, because it is going to do that loop once, no matter what I put in. The comparison is after it has done it once. Okay? Questions? Okay, going back to the other one, which was the while, if I put in the zero there and say, okay, all I get is this is the end. Okay, it never entered the loop. I just got this is the end. Okay. Okay, here I've put in a bunch of alerts to show what's going on. So I said count at the beginning of the loop is one. Okay, then I go down and I say, okay, enter the number of points you earned. So I'm gonna put in 25. And I'm going to click okay. And it says total points after the add is 25. So it's keeping track. Then I go in and I click OK again. And it says count it is the beginning of the loop is 2. So it's been incremented. Then I say OK and it says enter the number of points. I'm going to enter 50. It says okay, and it comes back and shows that we're now at 75, because 25 plus 50 is 75. So I'm going to say okay, it's now at 3. I'm going to put in 100. Okay, total points is now 175. Count at the beginning of loop 4. I'm putting in 200. I'm now at 375, and I'm going to put in 300, and I'm now at 675, and finally it ended. Okay. So, I am basically showing here, by putting in the alerts, what's happening. I've got two alerts, and I put in the literal count at beginning of the loop concatenated with count. So it shows me what's in count. And down here I said total points after the end concatenated it with total points. So that I basically, those are the kinds of things I would put in if it wasn't working. Okay? I wouldn't really start with those in there, but those are, if I wasn't getting the right answer, those are the kinds of things I would put in to show me the progression. It's going 1, 2, 3, and the numbers are going like this, and I can see where it goes off if I do that. Okay, so what I've got here is I said input points, and I prompted them to enter the number of points, and I put in 25. Then I said, okay, take total points, which I started out at 0. Okay, so total points started out at 0, and I'm going to add the input points, which are 25, and put it back in total points. Okay, so how this statement works is I have total points, and it starts out at 0. If I enter 25 here, I come down and say, take total points, add the 25 to it, and put it back in total points. And then add one to count. I go back up, enter the total points, I entered 50. It says, take the 50, add it to total points, and assign it back to total points. So it goes up to 75. So it's accumulating a total. And the way you accumulate is you put the thing you want to add to as part of the calculation and then assign it back to itself. And when you assign it back to itself, it grows. So if I take in 100 and I say take what's already in total points, add 100 to it, it will go up to 175. So the next time through, it went to 175. and in keeping doing this, and this time I'm saying when count is less than or equal to 5. So as long as count is less than or equal to 5, it keeps going, and notice I add to count every time. For some reason, I decided to write count equals pass integer count, which is perfectly acceptable but not required. It is smart enough to know with an add that if one of the numbers is a literal number, that it should be doing an add. But if you ever run into a wacko browser that doesn't understand that, you can always throw in a parse integer, and that guarantees that it's a number. But you know how when we do an add, and I should have mentioned this before, we always do the parse of some kind? Well, in fact, if there's a number there, it's smart enough to know, oh, I guess you want to add as opposed to concatenate, and it does the add. Okay. But I guess if you're a purist, you'd throw that in. Okay, so now once I have finished the loop, I come in and say, okay, if total points is less than 10, put out one message or prepare a message. I'm preparing a message here. Else, if the total points is less than or equal to 50, prepare a message. Else, prepare the third message. And then whatever is in message, I write. So on this one, I was well over 50, so I'm saying they're in group A. Okay? This just sets up the message in memory. The document write is what actually puts it on the screen.
So how do you get the B group?
By having something less than or equal to 50.
Oh, okay.
Okay, if my 5 numbers come in less than or equal to 50, so 2, 3, 4, 5, etc.,
yeah,
then I'm okay.
All right.
Okay, next. Final totals. End of the points player 1 earned, 10. End of the points player 2 earned, 20. Do you want to play again? Why? Enter the points, 30. 40. Do you want to play again? Why? 50. 60. Do you want to play again? N. And I'm out of here. Okay. So, when you have points in the game, this is how it keeps track of them. Okay? So, I'm going in and I've got player 1 total and player 2 total. And I've got player 1 entry and player 2 entry. So, entry is how many points I just put in when I was putting in 10, 20, 30, 40, etc. Okay? Now, in this case, my control is called continue program. And I am basically testing it for a Y. And the way I'm changing it inside is I'm letting the user change it. Because I'm saying to the user, do you want to play again, Y or N? And if the user enters Y, then Y is in cont program. And while comp program equals Y, I keep going. If the player enters N, or in fact anything other than capital Y, we'll quit. So if they enter a capital Y, we continue. Anything other than a capital Y, we quit. Okay? So they go through and I'm accumulating the points. I have 2 prompts. Now notice what I did with these prompts. I converted or said this, make this a number on both of the prompts when they brought the number in. I did that parse integer, or I could have done parse float, but I want whole numbers. I did a parse integer on what they entered so that when I came down to the add, I could just do an add. Because it keeps track of the fact that I've already done that parse integer and therefore it's a number. So I can just do the add. So So I add player one entry to player one total and assign it to player one total. I add player two entry to player two total and assign it to player two total. And then I ask, do you want to play again? Yes or no? So the control is in the hands of the user. I started out by setting continue program to Y, and then I test. As long as it's Y, I keep going. When it stops being Y, I quit. And then when I'm all done, I go in and I write out the total for player one is and the total for player two is. Okay? And I had entered in here 10, player one was 10, player two was 20, and so forth. So I think the numbers add up right. So I had player one, player two, I have 10, 20, 30, so it's up to 40, 40, so it's up to 60, 50, so it's up to 90, 60, so it's up to 120. Yes, good. All right, so those are my totals. Now I want you to go in and fix, add something to this. I want to know whether player 1-1 or player 2-1. So I want you to add in below this the if statement that's going to tell, if statements, that's going to tell whether player 1-1, player 2-1, or what's the third option? A tie. So you got three possibilities. Player 1-1, player 2-1, it's a tie. And I want you to put in the if statements down at the bottom to determine that and do a document write telling who won. Okay? So how many if statements are you going to need if there's three possibilities?
Two.
Two. Because if there is three possibilities, you woke up just recently. If I get a no to the first two, it's got to be the third. It's like flipping a coin. You don't have to ask. If I ask its head, if it's heads, I don't have to ask if it's tails. Because if I get a no to its heads, it's got to be tails. Okay? If I get a no to player 1-1 and a no to tie, then it's got to be the player 2-1. Okay? So, we've got 16, 17 minutes. We'll see if it takes that much time. But go in and write the if statements. If you want to work with somebody, it's fine. If you want to work alone, it's fine. Pat's been bored out of his mind, so he's glad I gave you something to do. So please ask him if he has any questions.